You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. Thanks for being along with us. Coming your way first here, our regular feature on a Monday, the cattle market overview. And for that, we turn to an agricultural economist on the staff of the Livestock Marketing Information Center, Jessica Sampson, on the line with us once again. And Jessica, we will reflect back on last Friday afternoon's USDA Cattle on Feed report, not only the national, but the Kansas numbers there, and many other influences on the trades. But looking at the cash fed cattle trade for this past week, again, rather sluggish, and if anything, the market might have given up a dollar or thereabouts.
Yep, you're absolutely right, unfortunately. So actually, if we start out with the feeder cattle, in Oklahoma City, there was some decent news. The feeder steers were mostly steady. Feeder heifers were steady to $2 higher. Winter livestock auction in Kansas there looks like there was some low volume on those feeder steers, so not quite enough to really compare week over week. Feeder heifers looks like they were steady to $3 lower, and calves look like they were pretty steady. So decent numbers there, I guess. We would hope for better, I think. But you're right, on the fed steers, as of Friday morning, we saw some cash trades for $116 a hundredweight live basis, and that did give up a couple dollars from the previous week. Slightly surprising. Well, we've been marketing a lot of animals, so I don't know if surprising is the right word, but definitely not the direction we were all hoping for those numbers to go. But I think it's also being influenced some by this cutout price, and that's lost about a dollar since the previous week. And a lot of that loss has come from a decrease in value in the rib and the loin primal cuts. Those are the higher valued primal cuts on that cutout value. And just kind of a lackluster rally in this cutout value so far for the month of August. These all seem like they're feeding into the futures prices, which unfortunately lost almost $6 this past week. And, you know, just the cash market inability to really top that $120 kind of ceiling we have right now, coupled with what we talked about, the lackluster box beef rally, and, of course, the continued volatility and discrepancy between cash and futures right now. So a bit tougher of a week on those market prices there.
These just seem, Jessica, general observation here, to be markets that are in search of a dominant driver that just isn't there.
Yeah, you're right. And kind of the perplexing thing, I guess, is, you know, the fundamentals in the cattle market are really strong right now. Beef demand still holding steady. We're marketing a lot of cattle, so we're being really current right now on those fed animals. We're not backing up a lot of overheavy animals. That translates to being very current on feeder cattle animals, even with an increased supply. You know, of course, there's decent pasture conditions out there, so people aren't really pressured into having to make sales at certain times, but it looks like we're moving through the animals well. All across the fundamentals, they're strong, and it just doesn't seem like this market has a lot of confidence behind it.
And as we look back once again on the USDA monthly cattle on feed report Friday afternoon, on the national level anyway, just wasn't much there to cause a stir in the market, or likely to cause a stir.
Right. So that report that was released Friday, kind of like you said, small numbers, small changes, nothing that's moving the market too much. We saw cattle placed on feed during July up 1.6% from a year ago. We saw cattle marketings during July down about 1% from a year ago, and that gave us an on-feed inventory as of August 1st up about 2% from a year ago. Some kind of key caveats in that report is that when we think about the month of July, there were actually two less slaughter days this year than last year, so kind of two less business days if you think of that, and that really impacts the number of cattle marketed, and that's why you see that marketings number actually below year ago. If we think of the past reports, we have had a much higher marketing number year over year pretty consistently this year. But putting that marketing number on a daily rate actually shows us that we were about 10% above last year's daily marketing rate. So still moving those cattle at a rather fast pace. You know, if we want to talk about Kansas specifically, number of cattle on feed for Kansas was up 9% year over year, and Kansas actually had a very high placement number up 13% year over year. So those numbers, as I think you put it, kind of bucked the report in terms of trends there. And you know, that placement number, we're getting into the late summer, early fall months when we do see the largest placements of the year into feedlots. So that difference in slaughter days will make a difference in these placement numbers. But also in July, the first half of July, we saw a pretty sharp increase in corn prices. The second half of July, fed cattle prices kind of had a mess in the market. They decreased rather significantly. So cattle feeders had a bit of a rougher month in July compared to previous months. Additionally, we imported about 40,000 fewer head from Canada and Mexico of feeder cattle in July compared to July of 2015. And it just seems like it was a month that placements kind of got put on a hiatus. You know, I would expect to see these placements get back to this trend of increasing year over year as we get into these big placement months, especially looking at last year. Those months had significantly lower placements, so you're just comparing to a relatively smaller number. But like we said before, we do have pretty decent pasture and range conditions out there in the country still, especially for getting into late August. And so people do have some flexibility on what to do with their feeder animals right now. But like you said, I don't think this report's a huge market mover. If anything, it kind of supports the fact that we might get into some tighter fed cattle supplies here in a few months. It'll just depend on how tight those supplies get, whether it helps support prices or not.
Well, Jessica, the latest out of the USDA's Economic Research Service on international meat trade numbers posted early in the month of August, and they've been analyzed now. And the indicators there are that we seem to be doing well on the beef side, but doing very much the same in the other competing meats.
Right. Across the meat and poultry sectors, you're absolutely right. Beef and pork exports are doing better than last year. Poultry is still struggling, and it's doing worse than last year right now. So we'll look at these numbers for a first half of 2016 compared to the first half of 2015. Beef imports were actually down 13% compared to last year's for the first half of the year. Most of that decrease came from less Australian products coming into the U.S. So good news for our domestic prices, I guess, generally. On the beef export side, we're actually up 2% year over year, and our major export destinations for that first half of the year time frame, exports were up 9% to Japan, up 6% to Mexico, up 17% to South Korea, but down 6% to Canada, and that's all on a volume basis, so pounds of product exported. And Japan remains by far our largest and highest valued international market. So beef exports are doing better than last year, but there's still room for them to get even better. So they're doing okay, but we hope that they continue improving through the second half of 2016. Just to put that in perspective, on pork and poultry, we largely talk about exports. We don't import quite as much pork and poultry. Mm-hmm. So for pork exports, the tonnage for the first half of the year was 2% above 2015's. So kind of the same story as beef, although pork's coming off of a year in 2015 that wasn't quite as difficult for them in terms of exports, whereas beef struggled quite a bit last year. But broilers, so the chicken, actually, their sales are down 5% compared to 2015's. And, you know, we had expected to see those numbers bounce back here in the past few months, but it looks like they just still haven't recovered from the market closures that happened when we had the high-path avian influenza issue here in the U.S., which didn't impact or affect the broiler industry. It was all in egg layers and turkeys, but the countries reacted to the poultry industry as a whole and closed some of those markets. So some have reopened, but I just think in the poultry side, we've lost some market share internationally, and that's very difficult to get back.
And lastly, any notion as to where the fed and feeder cattle cash markets might tend to move this week?
I think that there's still some positive undertones on the feeder cattle side. We continue to have these high marketing rates of fed cattle, and what that eventually happens if we don't replenish that bunk space, if we don't put more animals back into the feedlot, we have a tight supply of fed cattle. So I think that that supports the feeder cattle price side in terms of having a bit more demand from the cattle feeder. I think in terms of the fed cattle side, it's really going to depend on if we see this cutout price or this boxed beef price kind of up its rally a little bit. We do expect to see boxed beef prices increase some as August progresses, and we just haven't seen that as much this year. You know, we're working into Labor Day, I would say, right now, through the 1st of September, retailers are going to be purchasing their product to feature for Labor Day, so mm-hmm. your steaks to grill, things like that. And that could support these cutout prices some. Obviously, it'll depend on what the movement of product is over Labor Day in terms of the consumer going to the retailer. But that could definitely support these cutout prices some into this next week. So I think I could expect some increase in prices, but again, we've said that before this year and it hasn't quite happened. So I guess take that for what you will, but again, the fundamentals look good in the beef industry. we're obviously dealing with a larger supply of feeder cattle, which translates to a larger supply of fed cattle and beef, but still strong demand from the consumer end. So overall, good news, and you know, we're just hoping this market gets some legs, some steady legs under it, and we see some more confidence in this market.
That would be more than welcome.
Yes.
Jessica, thanks for the insight. Always appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you again soon. She's Jessica Sampson, an agricultural economist with the Livestock Marketing Information Center, a project once more co-sponsored by K-State and numerous other land-grant universities based in Denver. We'll return with more in just a few moments here on Agriculture Today.